glad you've joined us on another episode of That Guy's Mom. I am Scott Durbin. I'm here with Ann Mayer, who is That Guy's Mom. If you would like to know more information about these podcasts and all that is going on, because it is expanding all the time, we'd encourage you to go to www.themattmayerstory.com. And do realize that this is not the musician, Mayer. This is a different person, a professional soccer player, and you can read all about what God really has been doing in his life and in the family's life. And it really is good to be back again today. And it does seem like over time here, so much has happened and so much is going on.
Yeah, it continues. The story just, God just uses it in so many ways. And it's really cool that today, and I know when people are listening to this podcast, it could be any day of the week and it could be months later, but today is a Thursday, which is the Storming the Gates of Heaven for Tier 7, which has been just a really just a blessing that came about. We're going to talk a little bit more about that at the end of the show, but it just shows you that so many people that we don't even know are praying for these men, and it has really had an effect on the men on Matt's tier. So if you are tuning in, we encourage you to go to our website and to join us on Thursdays for a little bit of a fasting, whether it's a few hours in the morning, whether it's all day, whether it's a show, whether it's your sweets, whatever. But be praying when you are thinking of these things that you're fasting for these men on Tier 7 who so dearly need the prayers. And many of them have never had a father in their lives. So to introduce them to the Father in Heaven is a pretty cool thing. Today, though, I'm going to talk a little bit about, do you think we're pre-wired for heaven, Scott?
I do. I think all of us have a little, there's an inkling that God has placed inside of us for spiritual things and for, I guess we would say it, heavenly minded.
Yeah. Do you ever notice too, especially working with youth, there is a God-sized vacuum inside of them that it resonates when, a lot of times when I was teaching in the public schools, you couldn't really bring God into it unless they brought God up. And a lot, I had the opportunity in the after-school program to get more intimate with these kids, and when you did bring up God, it was almost like a light would go on. There'd be a hunger. And I think that's because we have that. It says in Scripture that eternity is written in our hearts, which is really cool.
And it's interesting because somebody has sent me a book they wrote, and I'm reading through it for them. They talk a little bit about the baby boomers and that 43% walked away from religion. Mm-hmm. But yet there's still this desire and need for something spiritual or something more. Mm-hmm. And it is exactly that you can see it in our country. We're yearning for it.
Yeah.
We're striving for it. It's really sad that the last place we want to look for it is church.
Yeah.
Which I hate to say it. You and I know we can understand that. But yet somehow, some way, you know, for people to find how to fill that the right way.
Yeah, that's true. And that is what's missing. So they try, you know, all kinds of things, New Age and just mm-hmm. about anything that will try to fill that vacuum that is inside of us. But listen to this. I read this week. I thought it was so cool because our God, he works through creation. His fingerprint is on everything. And so when you look at some of creation, there's always an example of a masterful hand upon it. So get this one. All right. There's a bird called the golden plover bird. Did you know that?
No.
No, I didn't think you did. Neither did I, actually. But it's native to Hawaii. And these little birds migrate during the summer to the Aleutian Isles, which is 1,200 miles away from Hawaii. Now, when they go there, they mate and lay their eggs. After these fledglings are born, they return to Hawaii. Now, do you know how they get back to Hawaii? These little babies who the parents have left. After they have the babies, they leave. Mm. But the little young ones that are born have a homing instinct born inside of them through the Creator, and they find their way back to their homes 1,200 miles away.
Wow. That's amazing.
I mean, that shows you.
But who wouldn't want to live in Hawaii?
Oh, my gosh. Right. Exactly. That, see, the Lord, do you see how he discredits your mighty work here? Don't strike him down while I'm in the room with him, but yeah, the homing instinct inside these birds, but we see that in creation. You see these instinctual things that just boggle our minds, but it just shows the craftsmanship of God. And our homing instinct, or our GPS, is for heaven. And I like that because the more you understand the veil between heaven and earth is so thin, the more you are walking closer with God. Mm. And I think we limit ourselves because we don't see with eyes of faith. We walk this earth like this is the final show. And really, this is the walkthrough.
Right. This is preparation.
It's all preparation. I try to – go ahead. Do you want to say something?
Well, I just know that working with people, doing funerals, they don't have a church home or they don't have a developed faith. I'm not sure exactly the best way to say it, but it's interesting the things that they'll say to try to comfort themselves and try to make sense of. And there's such a generic idea about stepping over, but they don't finish to what and how they grapple to make sense of what's next. And often at funerals like that, I will challenge people, you know, what is life about? Because when you stop and consider your own mortality and you think, well, what is my life all about? And some people, it's boils down to three things: reproduce and get as much as you can and die. Mm-hmm. And what kind of a life is that? So a lot of people sit there going, well, you know, what is there to this life? Mm-hmm. And the reality is the reason that question hits so deep is because inside of us we're going, there is something more. I just haven't found it yet.
Right.
Haven't responded to it yet. Haven't grabbed hold of it.
And it is interesting, like you said, when you're at a funeral, that's where the question becomes extremely prominent.
Right.
Because when we're in crisis, that's when we start to wonder, what's it all about? And as Christians, when things happen that are crisis-centered, they're almost like have their own honing ability to get you to look past the earthly.
And if you'll grab onto that.
Yeah.
I mean, I get asked that all the time. I'm sure you do too. You know, why is this happening to me? And and I've learned that you can't just write out, tell people, especially in the middle of it, well, this is just to, you know, get your attention and refine you. Doesn't really make sense. Usually that's a lesson that's learned over the long haul, but it's exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often in crisis, our attention is so much more focused, and we're so much more receptive to whatever it is that God's going to
teach
us.
It's like an instant magnifier to all your sense that's not normal, which is your spiritual sense, you know, the supernatural. It's like, bam, you're zapped. You have my attention, God. And he uses that. I mean, he truly does use those situations for his children. But I noticed, too, in having lost a child, that the eternal mindedness becomes way greater after that, too, because now you have someone that you love dearly that you know is living there. So you tend to think about that more.
Mm.
So I think that as awful as that is for any parent that has lost a child, but it's also God's way of showing us that this is not our home.
Right. I believe it's in the book of James it's Job actually that says our lives are just vapor. You know, we're just here today and gone tomorrow. And when we look at our eternity and look at our lifespan, you know, it really does change our perspective and our values. And really that is the eternal perspective. That's what happens to us. You know, we get that perspective of the long run, of the overall view, and we can really realize that. And some of the things we do go through that are so traumatic, they hurt here.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only going to hurt for a little while.
Yeah, that's what we put our hope on. The other thing this week when I was thinking about the show was, again, this thin line between what we exist in and where heaven is. And there's this great scripture in 2 Kings 6:16. It's about Elijah, and they are being surrounded by a great military force. And his servant's with them, and his servant begins to panic. And Elijah begins to pray, God, let him see, really, that we're not alone here. We may see this big military encumbrance coming upon us, but Father, you have that in your hand, and your presence is here. And so he prays for his servant to see what he was able to see, which was the unseen angelic armies of God. And he looked up, and he saw a military force that was full of chariots of fire surrounding them. And for me, I love that because, again, it's the unseen. We're in situations, and if we knew that right now this room is full of angels and they're well pleased because we're talking about the God that they love, or if we're in a dangerous situation, you're not alone. God has it in his hands. And at times, crises are there so that we can, again, once again, look at eternity in a different way to realize that we're covered. It's spiritual. This life is spiritual. We think it's physical, but it is spiritual.
Yeah. Everything ebbs and flows through it's spiritual. Everything is.
Everything.
And we like to compartmentalize, especially in America. I also like the story where Daniel is praying.
Yes.
And he's praying and praying, and it takes 2 weeks for the angel to come to him.
Yes.
And we just don't understand how much is going on in the spiritual realm.
Yep.
And I have often prayed, you know, Lord, just let me see so that I can have that. Mm. glimpse and that assurance and sometimes that comfort he never has per se, because that's not always a lesson he wants us to learn. But to realize that there is so much more going on that we just don't understand.
Absolutely.
And the number of times where you get into a situation, you're like, where are you, God? And when you look back, you go, oh, I see where you were.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense then, but it makes sense now.
Well, don't you love it when some of those dots get connected or the puzzle pieces fit together and you see the mighty hand of God? Because he does that too. It's not like he's just saying, all right, you got to wait. There's times when he just shows us so clearly, I am in this. I am with you. I am working it out. And these pieces all fit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's usually the time when I feel kind of silly or ridiculous for either worrying or controlling or, I usually sit there and go, oh, okay, God, sorry.
God is intimately involved in our lives. And I hope people realize that. And I hope that you're open enough to see with eyes of faith when he is at work.
Yeah, and it would be great to tell people, even if you're not sure where you're at with your faith and you're listening to this going, what's this God talk? What are these churchy people? Whatever. The reality is he does this for everyone.
Absolutely.
And it's not a you're in or you're out type of thing. It's very much no matter where you're at in your walk, you could be a proclaimed atheist and God's still going, you know what, I'm still looking to talk to you. I still want to – he's calling you back saying, listen, I still want a relationship with you. I still love you. And if you'll trust me, you can enter into this kind of a relationship and understand some of these things spiritually and begin to fill that void.
And I'll meet you right where you are, right where you are. That's what he does. He's not going to wait for you to get cleaned up and
thank goodness.
Get everything in order. No.
Yeah. No matter how low you think you are, how bad you think you are, there is no place that God cannot retrieve you from.
Absolutely.
That's just a great thing.
It is a great thing. And I know Matt sees that a lot where he's at, tries to really impart that with some of these guys. It doesn't matter. You know, just come, surrender.
I'm going to say this. I might get in trouble for this. But, you know, what's sad is I find too many times, though, it's people in the church that want to remind you of your past more than it is God. Mm-hmm. And people trying to say, well, you know, you got to remember your place. Mm-hmm. And the reality is God saying, your place is right here in my heart with me, right next to me. You're an heir to the throne of God. You are my relation. And anybody, even the people on Matt's tier, all those men are more than welcome. You know, God is more than desires for them to be in a right relationship with him, no matter what they've done.
Yes, absolutely.
And some of them have done some
pretty all
bad
of
things.
Them. That's why they're there.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you know, we started out, I said it was today was Thursday, storming the gates of heaven for tier 7. And this whole idea of eternal minded, how God is so awesome. He does things. He's connecting dots all over the place. And actually, he's connected some really strange dots from New Jersey to Texas. Now, Texas,
really?
Yeah.
Of all places.
Yeah. Now, isn't that odd that I would be bringing that up? But
odd if you're listening and you're not sitting here.
If you're not sitting in this room with us, you will not know that we have a guest who is from Texas. And she is really a big part of the Matt Mayer story in terms of seeing God in his intimate nature, because frankly, prior to Matt's accident, I never knew this person and only met her through the website. And she has, through the past couple years, has not only God used her for Matthew in just being a support, an encouragement, a comforter, and someone that has given him affirmation in some of the things that he had been praying about, but he's also used her for helping us also, Scott, with the webpage and the radio show and things like that. And she's in town for the week. She's going to be visiting Matt. She's hyperventilating right now. We have the CPR. Did you call rescue yet?
Yeah, the rescue squad's outside in case there's a problem.
We're just going to talk to her for a little bit. And
I can't imagine us being that intimidating. So
no, really? Oh, I don't know about that. But it's really great to have Cindy here, and we're going to just talk about her. She actually originated Storming the Gates of Heaven for Tier 7. It really came through you. Cindy, say hi.
Hello.
And she has this sweet little Texas voice that I hate because I have this raspy, get-on-your-nerves voice. But so we're going to let her just tell us a little bit about Storming the Gates of Heaven for Tier 7. Like, can you just give us the short version of how that came about?
Well, there was one night, I remember, I was in the kitchen and just praying for Matt and all the men that were around him. And I remember the story of Paul and Silas. at midnight in shackles, and they were praising God through that pain of being in shackles and in prison. And I remember thinking of these men, if they would only surrender, if they would only see their God, their creator, and that God would remove these shackles from them. I just saw this whole vision. It was just, it was almost overwhelming, like the Lord would just stop me and just say, these men, they need me. They need prayer and they need these things. And it was the very next morning I opened up a devotion called Jesus Freaks.
Oh, yeah.
And in it was the exact vision that I had had the night before. The same scriptures, the same everything. And and when God does that, it just brings just tears, just because it's God speaking. Yeah. It's God speaking to you. And to me, that's just, it's overwhelming. It's incredible. It's get on your face. The Lord is speaking to you. And ever since then, I just had this passion for these men to pray for them. And I saw how God used the power of praise and worship. And how he did that in the Old Testament. Many times he would put the worshipers on the front line of battle and go before them. Mm-hmm. And because worship is such a passion of my heart, I just felt like that was to be the foundation to pray through the praises mm-hmm. for these men. And that these things come by prayer and fasting. That these chains needed to be loosed and broken in their lives. And so one day, it was actually Thanksgiving 2011, and I was sitting on the couch and I was writing and...
This lady remembers numbers like you will not believe. She baffles me, but Thanksgiving 2011, okay.
I was sitting there writing Matt thinking, okay, it's time to say, what would you think about a group of us coming together in the throne room and knowing, realizing that we cannot all gather together around the United States in one room to pray and have a prayer meeting, but we can all go to the throne room of grace. Mm-hmm. And that room is just as real as if we were to walk into a church, into a room and shut the door. And I just felt like Thursdays were going to be the day that we would fast and pray for these men. And as I was writing, I wrote, we can storm the gates of heaven for tier seven. It just came out and I went, wow, that makes sense and it sounds good and it's true. And Lord, we mean business. We want to storm the gates because we know where we're going and we know you answer prayer. And so that's kind of where that began. And
it's amazing.
And people have come around, and we do. We storm the gates, knowing that our Father hears us.
You can, Cindy posts every Thursday a beautiful, you know, the sentiments of her heart that God has given her for that week for us to be praying specifically. Sometimes it's prayer requests from the men, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's answers, and sometimes it's just exhortations. And they're very, very inspiring. And then she has a praise video. So you could come in and just put that on. If you don't know how to pray or you're new to praying or you just want the words to pray for you, then
yes.
that's the beauty of it.
And you can just take those worship songs and sometimes, you know, you internalize them, you're praying them for yourself. Mm. But you can actually take those words and really pray over these men with these
yes.
words and turn them around for them. And it's just an incredible time.
It's amazing. She... is here. I don't get that. She's traveling from Texas on her off time. Who would want to come to New Jersey? I don't know. But it's such an honor because she really has become part of our family. Very instrumental in confirmations for things that we really have prayed about. Like, can you just give us any example off the top of your head? Talk about the baptism thing because I just think that is the coolest thing. When Matthew was asked by Little John, do you mm-hmm. want to tell that story?
Well, it was about last August.
See, here we go. I wouldn't remember the month, but...
Well, I told Matt it was Good Friday, but it wasn't Good Friday. I found out it was actually August, and I remember just thinking about seeing him baptize people because there were some people who had professed Christ as their Savior, and I knew really the next step in obedience is to be baptized and proclaim your faith and what it represents. And I just saw him putting a cup of water over their head. I was thinking, how do you baptize in prison? And so I was just writing in my journal, and I just saw it all so clear. But I never said anything to Matt. I just kept praying, Lord, show him. If that's what Matt is to do with these men, show him. For months and months. And come January, it was such a burden on my heart that I finally had to say something. And so I stepped out and I wrote and I said, What do you think?
Well, wait, let's wait. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Because prior to you doing that,
mm-hmm.
everyone's familiar with Little John or Saul to Paul or our Sons of Thunder. I have so many names for him. He's this amazing former gangster who really, truly loves the Lord. And it's not one of these prison revival kind of things that are sometimes temporary, but it truly, this man loves mm-hmm. the Lord. And he had been saying to Matt, Matt, can you baptize me? Matt's like, oh, I don't know. He's like, I want you to do it. Matt's like, you could do it when you get out. And he's like, no, I feel like I want you to do it. Matt's like, well, let me pray about it because I don't know what the right thing would be to do. And that's when Cindy's letter got there. So go ahead.
And so I had no idea that this conversation was going on at all. And
they were praying about this.
This just shows you the power of God. And it was such a burden to have. It was like, now is the time. Write it. Write what I've shown you. So I did. And it just came at that time.
Yeah, I think you wrote something like, Matt, have you ever thought about someone wanting to be baptized in prison or something to that effect?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, I wonder how you would do it.
Right.
Would you do it in the shower? Would you do it
yes.
in the sink? And Matt gets this letter and he just about says to Little John, oh my goodness. Because basically you were encouraging him that there may be people there that really that means something to them in terms of the fact that they've accepted the Lord and that's the next step.
Exactly.
And they were like, okay, that's the answer. Into the bathroom they went, under the sink.
The amazing part to that was I didn't know that was going on until I got a letter back. But I didn't know that the baptism had actually taken place. And what was really interesting was that morning, it was February 5th, it was a Sunday morning, and I was outside praying, and I came in that morning, and that was the morning that the Lord took me back to the journal, and I found exactly where I had written those things in August, three different days. And I sat there, not knowing the baptism was taking place that day, with tears. Everything he had shown me was exactly what was taking place that day.
Wow.
As I was sitting there reading everything he had shown me. That was incredible. Mm. That all just had come together that very day.
And you know, it's funny, we could sit here, some of you may be listening, and be like, all right, that's, you know, a lot of coincidences, but we really don't mm-hmm. look at it that way. We know mm-hmm. that God works that way. Why don't we see it a lot today? Because we just choose to not walk by faith. And when you do, you'll see God in a mighty way.
And I think that that's an important point. So many people will ask those questions and come at it at that skepticism. But until you get involved, until you give yourself to God, mm-hmm. and I would even say at this point, even at the least point of just saying, God, reveal yourself to me, until you do that, you'll hear stories like this and go, well, they're nice. I'd like for those to happen in my life. I'd love to see that. It can happen, and it does happen, and God is more than willing, and he's working continually all around all of us to have those kind of experiences. It's just a matter of putting ourselves in a place where God can do those and where we open our eyes and are receptive.
I think the scripture, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, is the key.
And being obedient. Like, you may have thought, oh, I don't know what this means. I'm not going to say anything. This sounds weird. Listening to the promptings of God. I think a lot of times he is eyes to see, ears to hear. Mm-hmm. But there's noise all around us. And we're not looking with God goggles. We're looking through our eyes and we're seeing, this doesn't make sense. I've seen more supernatural things since Matt has been in prison that I've ever seen in all of my walk with the Lord.
And you could have used this time to kind of sulk and fall back and climb into a shell or be bitter or angry or embarrassed. You could have used this time completely differently. But look how it has given you eyes and you've looked for and look what God has shown you. And I think it's good for everybody to realize whatever your situation is, God can do the same thing where you're at.
And that's really about surrendering your circumstances to God's will and his way and his plan and not trying to, like you said, get buried by them. And I do think when you do that, there's blessings. There is blessings. That doesn't mean it gets fixed. That doesn't mean there's not pain in your life or embarrassment, but it's that God is at work through it. And that is a strengthening piece in my life mm-hmm. in so many ways when I just see God's mighty hand And just the fact that Cindy's here from Texas to New Jersey does not make any earthly sense. But it makes a lot of God sense when you know the full story. And I often say, there's our God, and he's saying, I'm looking to and fro upon the earth for those whose hearts incline to me. And then when he finds those hearts, he speaks to them. And then when he speaks to them, they become instruments. And that is exactly, okay, we're in New Jersey, she's in Texas. If she was my next door neighbor, then maybe this would make some sense because we talk all the time and she knows us. But when God raises up his word and his seed in other people throughout the world, and they confirm or affirm, or they come in and they put the Lord's seal of approval on something you've been praying about, that's how he uses us. And that's how he's used her. And it's very mind-boggling to me when I think about it.
It is really cool to have Cindy here. Just so some of you know further, she's the one that edits our shows, which is good because there's a lot of stuff that happens while we're together that we don't want to make the air because we mess a lot of things up. But we've told the story before about how God provided a laptop computer, an Apple computer, which had all the equipment you needed to be able to edit our mistakes and to get this stuff all on the air. And it is cool because, 2 years ago, we didn't know Cindy. And then now she's intimately involved in the workings of all of this. And, you know, there may be somebody listening today and you're saying, you know, I feel like God's calling me to help. That's great. Email us and let us know. There's plenty to do. And definitely join the Thursday prayer and go onto the website. Make sure you look at all the information there. And Cindy, thank you for making the effort to come out and be with us. And see, it wasn't quite as bad. If you get this show and you don't hear Cindy at all, you know she edited herself out. So nobody likes to listen to themselves on a recording. But thank you so much for being with us, Cindy, and all that you do.
And as usual, we close all of our shows with the most wonderful verse, Psalm 46:10. And if you really want to walk by faith and live in an eternal way, then you need to be still and know that he is God.